hammerhammer.com and the Hammer mobile app.
Hammer Down Show back, 1017thehammer.com and your mobile app. The Cubs are on the stick. They trail the Cardinals. Cardinals up 2-1 in the eighth. Time now to talk some more Purdue sports, Purdue football, soccer, volleyball, you name it. Our next guest, he knows all about it, Nate Barrett, Purdue postgame co-host, joining us on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. Nate, happy Friday. What's going on?
Fellas, good to talk with you. We all have to figure out what to do with ourselves this Saturday.
Yes, we do. So what is your plan? What is Barrett Nation doing on Saturday?
Whatever Mrs. Barrett says.
Attaboy.
I'll be working at my day job a bit on Saturday, but we do have some youth soccer. I think we have a 10 a.m. youth soccer game for my daughter, and planning to attend that, and then head into my day job, see if we can't move some automobiles. But it'll be different, and we'll certainly have some college football on because there's, of course, some good games this weekend.
So how's the soccer season going so far?
Well, we're learning, right?
Okay.
Year two of soccer, and we're learning, and it's a lot of fun just to watch them out there getting better each Saturday. And as all parents know, it's just all good. It's relaxing, and no clue what the score is, and they're having a good time.
Absolutely, and you know what, Nate? We never got the final wrap on the baseball season. How'd your summer go with on the diamond?
Well, we were eliminated. In the big city tourney at Armstrong Park, and
uh-huh.
then we're back for fall ball tonight. And my son is moving into the live pitch stage, Stu, if you can remember when you moved from pitching machine to live pitch. So it should be interesting. I am informed, very much to my happiness, that there will be a time limit on the game because I've heard rumor that the first year of live arm can take about 17 hours.
See, we did T-ball, and then we did coach pitch where there was a coach out there throwing it to you.
Yeah.
And then you go to the where it's the pitchers. And usually at that age, we used to have girls play with us, and usually the girls were more mature. So usually a lot of times the girls were pitchers, and that's like, you know, your first time up the bat, you get struck out by a girl. It was like, oh, boy, not good.
They're more mature throughout life.
Well, you're right.
Yeah, but, you know, I thought we'd have a little coach pitch. I thought this year would be like, you know, a good transition from pitching machine to live pitch. I thought we'd have coach pitch, but apparently we're not going to have coach pitch. We're going to the young men pitching themselves, so it should be very interesting.
See, we didn't have any of that stuff. I mean, we like when I grew up and played, like we all pitched.
There was
no coach, there was no machine, there was nothing. We're just
you had T-ball. I'm assuming, didn't you?
I don't think there was any T-ball. I don't ever remember playing T-ball.
Oh boy.
Well, I remember pitching machines.
Yeah, we didn't have any of that.
But we're going to live arm, so here we go. And fortunately, again, they put a time limit on it.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Nate Barrett with us, Purdue postgame co-host. On the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. All right, Nate, we've had a chance here to digest and re-digest and chew on it a little bit more, this Purdue-TCU game from last weekend. What was a couple of things that really jumped out at you as you kind of rehash what happened last Saturday?
Well, I'll start by kind of rehashing Mr. Karpik and my call-in show and tell you that the mood was disappointed, but not, you know, upset in the sense that I think everyone was able to recognize the situation for what it was and how Purdue had to adjust, how banged up they are. I think there were some callers that, you know, again, were like, kind of, is this all we've got in terms of depth? And then you're describing to them that the answer to that is yes. And to prepare for that, and just that Purdue has to try to get everybody healthy, and Coach Brohm will just have to scheme his way through this because, you know, you're at where you're at, and that it's going to, you know, Alan Karpik did a nice job of articulating that Jeff Brohm and his staff have done a great job of bringing in some exceptional wide receivers to this group, and they're working to develop guys, but it takes time, you know, to get that depth at those line positions, both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. And so yeah, I think the fans are like, realizing the situation. But at the same point, I think in the press box, guys, at halftime and postgame, I think there's a little more fear even than there was at 0-3 last year, just because of what you're looking at in terms of injuries and situations. So it makes the Minnesota game an awfully big contest for Purdue, because it's going to be interesting to see what Jeff can come up with.
Nate, when looking at last week, who was the bigger loss for Purdue, Sindelar or Marcus Bailey?
I think you'd have to say Bailey's a big loss from a leadership standpoint. And, you know, I think if you, you know, before the year, Stu, I think he'd all have been on our short list of people that you couldn't lose. I listened to you guys' segment with Kitch, and I agree with Kitch that I don't think Purdue wins that game. Having seen TCU now, I don't think Purdue wins that if Sindelar's out there, but I think maybe the outcome, the score is a little different. But it just was not, you know, losing Bailey going into that game was not ideal for Purdue at all. Jeff and his downtown Gridiron Club was able to, you know, kind of go into some more detail on concussion protocol as he's able to talk about it. And you just understand that, you know, it's a real process for Elijah to get back. And I'm sure he will be, you know, good to go in the long term. But, you know, Purdue needs to get Lorenzo Neal back too. They just need something to break their way. It was just the kind of week going into that game that, man, nothing seemed to be breaking Purdue's way. I mean, can they get Fuller back eventually? Can they get Neal back? And who steps up for Purdue? Because it was a patchwork offensive line, which you touched on with Kitch. So you just look at what you see there, and that, you know, Purdue's worst in the Big Ten in rushing so far. They're second worst in pass defense. They're giving up, what, a total of 438 yards a game. So, fortunately, Minnesota looks like a team that you can get to their quarterbacks, and maybe George can do some things and get some sacks for Purdue. But someone somewhere will have to provide the spark for Purdue to get rolling.
And then I want your opinion on two things here. One, Sindelar not being on the sidelines for that game. And two, how do you feel about a captain an hour before kickoff walking down the sideline to get a sandwich? Down the street, away from the stadium, and Lorenzo Neal walking by the show, not being around the team an hour before kickoff. What are your thoughts on that?
Really?
Yeah. Unfortunately, both weeks.
Yeah, we've seen him before the show. We've seen him about an hour before kickoff on both shows walk right by us.
I bet you don't see that again. Since you're talking about it on the air.
I mean, you would think the coaches know, right? I mean,
well, and I don't know, you know, Stu, what was Tiller's policy on something like that when a guy's clearly out?
I remember, and I go back to 2002, my junior year, I missed the first game of the season against Illinois State. And I didn't have to stay at the hotel with the team. I remember staying at my house in Lafayette and then coming to the game that morning. But I think I was there 3 hours before kickoff. And I mean, once I'm in there, I'm around my guys. I'm getting my replacement, you know, whoever it is, my positions, my guys ready, because, you know, I was a leader of the team regardless if I'm playing or if I'm not playing. That's why I was so concerned when you're talking about a freshman quarterback and not having that senior leader of the group on the sideline. Now, they say it was because of some, you know, the concussion still and lights and whatever. And it just seemed like a bunch of hogwash to me.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the medical side of the, you know, concussion protocol to know if that played a role in it. I would think that if there's, you know, if there's any way he could have been out there, that you'd want him out there on the sideline pumping his guys up. And then the Lorenzo Neal thing is interesting too, because you know, not knowing the rules inside that locker room, that's a bit of a surprise, I must admit.
And again, you know, I'm just speaking off of what it looks like, the impression. I don't know what their rules are either. Maybe, I mean, it caught all of us off guard, and we're just kind of going, that's just a little mental note, like, kind of weird.
It's interesting.
I think that's a good word. Actually, I think that's a better word. It's interesting.
Well, it certainly, yeah, I'm sure you guys obviously have noted it, and you know, maybe at some point you'll get a chance to ask somebody about that. That is fascinating. Fascinating. Both of those, Stu, are good questions.
Yeah.
Good tidbits. And I, like you guys, like to know as much as they can give you publicly in terms of the psychology of the coaching staff. What are their rules? Why do they make them? How do they differ from, you know, other coaches? How did they come by those rules? Of, you know, you're always interested in how did other coaches mentor them, and what were the coaches that mentored them's rules in those areas?
That might be a question for the chief of staff.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a fascinating question.
Because we were very surprised, because we all looked at each other like, is that who we think it is? And then we're all in agreement, and we're like, kind of look at our watches, and then, like we've been saying, it's like, that is very interesting. Simple as that.
And that seems like the kind of question we'd get on the call-in show after the game from somebody that was walking by your guys' show. Be like, I'll tell you another thing I saw. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we get, you know, just completely blindsided as we're on the air.
And you know what? I think, Nate, it was the timing of it. I wasn't necessarily surprised that he wasn't, you know, if it's 3 hours before, it's a later game, but you're talking, I mean, an hour before kickoff, that you're on the field. I mean, that you're getting, like, that's crank it up time.
Yeah, it is crank it up time. You want him in there pumping everybody up in the
locker. Exactly.
That is fascinating. I'll tell you the other thing, guys, as I reflect on the game, you know, kind of with Dellinger hitting that nice field goal, if you kind of go, the tape of TCU is really good scouting tape against Purdue for other teams in terms of how you'd want to play against Purdue. I think TCU did a great job with their game plan, but it just makes you think about Dellinger hitting that long field goal. Purdue is not in a position to, nobody ever is, you know what I mean, but they can't race possessions. I mean, you may be into some long field goals like that because you've got to get some points on every possession. Purdue is just not strong enough at the moment offensively to waste any kind of possessions.
Well, Nate, always great to catch up with you on a Friday. Best of luck with the baseball and the soccer this weekend. Try and put your feet up if you can, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Hey, we'll be watching Michigan at Wisconsin.
Oh, that'll
be a good one. Yeah, you hear her first, Stu. Dellinger from 61 yards for the Boilermakers.
I love it.
There you go.
I love
See
it.
You. Have a good weekend, guys. See you, Doug.
You too. Thanks, man.
61.
Mercy.
Woo!
Nate Barrett, Purdue postgame co-host. Come back. Stewart has a plan to win, and the Cubs are in a tight spot. All that when we come back. Hammer down.